Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now.
Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guest today is Sophie. And how she became a guest, honestly, I was sitting on my phone and then the Calendly thing popped up and was like, oh, Sophie signed up to be on the podcast. So I texted Janelle and I was like, oh, so who is Sophie? Like, did you invite Sophie? I'm just like, I don't know who that is. And I'm just like, so I'm asking everybody around, it's like, who is Sophie? And then I saw her email, put it into the internet, and then Sophie Singer popped up. And we will tell you a little bit more about her. Well, actually, you know what? Sophie, go ahead and tell us a little bit about you.
Thanks, ladies. It's lovely to be here. A lovely surprise for you guys as well. So my name is Sophie Singer. I'm 46 years old. I own a boutique matchmaking and date coaching agency in Southern California. I'm a professional matchmaker, a date coach. I like to think of myself as more of a conscious matchmaker. I am also a mother and a wife. I have my husband, Michael, who also helped me found this company. We've been married for over 12 years and we have twins, a boy and a girl named Sasha and Ori, who are 10 and a half. And yeah, and I'm just kind of, you know, excited to meet you ladies and just chat about any and all of the things, because it seems like you guys are exploring the space that I do my work in and that I really feel kind of is my purpose to serve in the world. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
So you said you've been married for 12 years, but how did you guys meet?
So I met my husband online. I was engaged when I was 27 and broke that off. I was with the guy for like 4.5 years, broke off an engagement, was just like really nervous about getting married to him. And I was like, okay, this is not the one. So I had to kind of restart. All my other friends were getting married already and starting their families. I thought I was going to be married with child by 30. I was like, that was the plan. And, you know, God laughs. We make plans. God laughs.
Every time
the universe just has its own plan, right? So yeah. So I kind of restarted my dating journey in my late 20s. And back then online dating was just coming on up. I mean, it was like people weren't like talking about it all the time. It was kind of this like, oh yeah, like where'd you meet? Oh, we met through a friend. No, you know, and so I started dating online quite a bit. And I would say I spent a good 5 years, like from 28 to 33, really dating, like professional dating, you know, it's what people like to call serial dating. Back then there was no swiping. It was just dating websites like Match.com and OkCupid and JDate and eHarmony. And so I met my husband on eHarmony of all places. We're like this Jewish couple who, I mean, and it used to be a Christian site, not when I was on it, but it started as one. So anyways, yeah. So we met online and it was interesting. We were matched on the site. And at the time I was traveling all the time. I was a sales rep for apparel and footwear company. And I got a text message on my phone saying, this is Michael from eHarmony. Do you want to chat? And I was like, who in the hell is this? I had no idea. I was sitting in front of my television, having one of my like single Sophie nights, like eating my favorite takeouts, watching Dexter. I was like, okay, sure. Thinking like, okay, I better go back and look and see who this person is. Like I had no idea. Sila calls me immediately. And I was like, I can't actually talk this second. Like, can I give you a call back? So I quickly run to my computer, like my computer, because I couldn't look it up on my phone back then. Like, opened up my PC and checked it out. And I was like, oh, I matched with this guy like 3 months prior. Literally, our last message was 3 months prior. And it was like, okay, he's tall and Jewish, rare find, shaved head, cute face. He has a cool career. Like, he's an engineer, software engineer. So, okay, potential for like a nice, normal, solid career. He lived an hour away from me. So I'm in San Diego. He lived in Orange County. I was like, eh, I don't like Orange County. It's kind of lame, but he's tall and cute and Jewish and seems friendly and has a nice job. So sure. So anyway, I was like, let me call you later when I like finish stuffing my face with food and, you know, like figure out who the hell you are. So anyways, then we got on a call. So yeah, we had a really great chat. I went over my normal time limit. I used to limit myself to like not speaking to someone for super, super long on the phone before meeting them. I would just, because sometimes that builds up kind of this like, you have great phone chemistry and then you meet in person and it's like, oh, that was weird. So we talked for like 2 hours and then, yeah. And then we had this plan to meet a few days later and he came down to San Diego. And that was my my last first date. That was it. Like it. And that's how we met. So that's the initial story.
Wow. So I guess on like your version of online dating from just completely different to what I know as online dating now.
Yes. it's there's many similarities. Mm-hmm. But it's just gotten so much harder these days. And I work with I'm in this world every day. Just so you know, we actually do online dating for our clients. So I'm literally in apps, on apps. My team is, it's definitely harder now. You think it's easier because they're swiping. It's just it's harder. It's harder now. Back then there was a little bit more humanity in the process and it's become more and more and more transactional. So,
So from you guys first meeting, how long did it take for you to realize that, oh, okay, there may be something there?
It's a good question. I mean, if you ask my husband, he'll be like, oh, within 5 minutes, I knew that that was it. Like I was walking with my wife. That was it. Like that's his version. I dated a lot. Like I actually went back and calculated, like averaged out, like how many dates I went on over like a 5-year period until I met my husband. It was like over 150. So it was like a lot of dates.
Yeah.
And so there were many times and I very much like wore my heart on my sleeve. I wasn't like a playing hard to get girl. I wanted a relationship. I wanted to get married and I wanted to have babies. Like I was like, I'm on a mission for my husband. And so I was, So I felt like we had a great first date. We had some drinks. We totally made out and there was definitely like the chemistry was there. The conversation was awesome. It was it felt comfortable and natural. And you know, I got excited about it, but I also like, there was always that part of me that's like, okay, Sophie, let's just see how he shows up. Is he going to ask you out again? Like, is this going, like, what's going to happen? And you know, he was just consistent. Like, and the more he showed up and kept asking me out and giving me more comfort and space to really like be who I am. I felt seen. I felt heard. I felt already like kind of like held and supported by him as we got to know each other. Even in the first few weeks, I started to be like, okay, this could be the one. Again, there was the protective little heartbroken part of Sophie that had been heartbroken many times over the years. That was like, don't jump the gun. I called my therapist. I was like, I don't know. This guy seems amazing, but like, I'm so scared. You know, you just get scared to let go. But he kept showing up and I kept showing up and, you know, he kind of declared his love for me a few weeks in. And then I'm like, okay, he told me he loves me and we could spend weekends together without even like a thing.
Nice.
And then I just leaned in. I'm like, this is probably the one. And I just let myself really trust in him and the universe that like mm-hmm. it was going to carry me through. And it did.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
During your guys' stages of dating, did you introduce him to family and friends?
Yes. Actually, I think the first night we met, I lived in downtown San Diego, and we went out to this bar. We went to a tequila bar, and we had some tequila and ceviche. And so I had some friends that were out that night, out like at another place. And I think I brought him there. I know, like super bold move. And he can't, like, he couldn't dance. And there was music. And I was like, wait, hold on. Hold on. What's happening here? But I don't know, almost maybe that was like this part of me that was like testing, right? Like protective mm-hmm. measure. Like, let me just see how he fares. Like around last minute. Yeah. He was rolling with it. He was just like, sure, let's go. Like, he just nice. And we went and we had some more drinks and we danced a little with my friends. But that was just the one night. After that, we were together like alone for a few weeks. And then it got serious pretty fast. Like, he was like, I want to take you to Israel to meet my brother for my brother's wedding. He was just like, you're coming with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, sure. And so I was like, I should probably meet my mom. And so I, you know, we lived about an hour, 20 minutes away from each other. So, mm-hmm. I think he met my mom like 6 weeks in or something. Cause I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going to Israel with him. Like, I'm flying across the world.
Yeah.
And so I kind of knew, and by the way, so I'll just tell you, my lease was coming up on an end, like coming to its end mm-hmm. just months after I met him. And he was like, I've been looking for a house. He was looking to buy some things. Like, I'm starting to think not a bachelor pad anymore. I think this is like, he was just like straight,
yeah.
like
yeah.
he was ready. So he was at that time, at that place in his life where he mm-hmm. was like sick of dating also. And just like, oh my God. And looking to settle down. It was like the timing was right. And the connection was right. And so he was like, oh my God, I met this American girl who's Jewish and actually has some Hebrew, you know, like he's Israeli. Yeah. And so, yeah. And so it was really actually he's Romanian, but like raised in Israel. And so I think he just like leaned in and we were like, we kind of just started planning our lives together. And I moved in with him 4 or 5 months after we met. Before we were engaged, I moved in. And that's when the true test began, just so you yeah. know. It wasn't
being here
like
on the weekend perfect. Is different than living with somebody.
Yeah, it was like we skipped the whole like dating in the same city part. Mm-hmm. It was just like we were either just, but we only lived an hour and a half apart. So we could see each other every week, basically. Yeah. But it's different than like grabbing dinner after work. Like, you really do have to still plan. Right. Yeah. And I just like went with it. So I moved in with him and it was like kind of crunchy at first. Like, because I mean, think about it. You go from like just knowing each other for a few months to like, okay, now there's like a house and there's bills and there's things, right?
Yeah.
It's like immediate. And so that's the stuff that starts to show you, okay, like, am I going to like work through this? Like, can we work through this stuff together? Or is mm-hmm. this going to just kill us? Right.
Right.
But we worked through it.
Hey, you live to tell the story.
Yeah. And it wasn't like perfect and ideal. I would say we bickered quite a bit at the beginning. Mm. Like stuff popped up. We were like, oh God. But the good part is that we just kind of like faced every single thing kind of head on. Okay. And we managed then it became, I would say, like much more smooth sailing, you know? So
mm-hmm. yeah. How soon after did you guys get engaged after moving in with each other?
Let's see. We moved in October 2010 and then he proposed, and then it was kind of like, okay, it was like not just implied, but we like kind of talked about like, okay, someday when we get married and, mm-hmm. you know, and so he proposed to me in March the next year.
Okay.
After he took me back to Israel. I met his family. Mm-hmm. All of that had happened. And then he probably spent like the next, like the first 3 months of that year trying to fake it, convince me like, you're not getting a ring anytime soon, so just lay off of me already. Cause like my friends were getting engaged, this one, that. He kind of was like every time I would bring up like, oh, this person got engaged, he's like, why are you pressuring me? Like, you know, it'll happen. Like, but like, it was all a little show. Cause guess what?
Yeah.
He was planning. He was literally designing a ring, like on a computer CAD. He was buying a stone. He actually wrote a book, like a children's storybook about our lives together so far. And he like, it's amazing. My proposal is so romantic and sweet. And he proposed with the book. The book was the proposal. Like, it was
so sweet.
It was so crazy. It's, yeah, I have it on my Facebook. I should probably put it on my Instagram too. It's the cutest thing. It was called Jay and the Blue Lantern, because when we met, I lived on Jay Street and he lived on Blue Lantern. And it was unbelievable. And literally it rhymed. He had like everything was rhyming, and it was like the story. And then at the end of the book is literally a picture of the ring that was in the box proposing to me. And every photo, every drawing in the book was a photo of us that we went to Comic-Con together. We did all these crazy things together during those months and went to Israel together. And he had them all like illustrated using like a software. So they turned them into like an illustrated picture. So anyway, it was really beautiful and romantic.
Yeah. That sounds so cute.
It was like, really cute.
The attention to details.
Oh God.
For sure.
Yes. He's quite the romantic. Yeah, he is. And he still has that, but we have kids now, and I don't know, those grand gestures are not as common, but he like has that in him. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was unbelievable. Honestly, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, whoa. So yeah, it was really sweet. And I don't know, just recalling it right now makes me feel really warm. Yeah.
So you guys got engaged how long in between until you guys got married?
We got married later that year. It's funny. He proposed to me right before we took a trip to Hawaii with my family. And so we had this like engagement moon, which was fun to like go to Hawaii like a week later after you're engaged. Aww. Like, oh my God, it was so fun. Yeah. And then we got married later that year in November in Israel in 2011. We had like a wedding there, and then we had a smaller little party in San Diego, a few months after that. So yeah, it was pretty quick. I mean, and I was like, I was on like a mission too. So like, I'll just say that he wanted us to maybe like quit our jobs, put stuff in storage, and maybe travel for a year together. Like have some, he had these like, right. It would have been fun, but I was like, no, it's going to, I know it's going to take me a while to get pregnant. I'm already 34. I want babies. I was like, that'll be our adventure. Like, it's an adventure to have kids. That's, I told him, he said, let's take a trip first. I said, no, I need to get pregnant. So no trip happened. There was no world traveling. There was getting off birth control and spending a year. I got pregnant 1 year after, literally found out I was pregnant a day after our 1 year anniversary of marriage. I was on a mission.
Okay.
So now whenever we have twins, and that was really hard, like mm-hmm. super hard. And now every time I am complaining or annoyed with my kids and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm gonna, he's like, I told you we should have taken a trip. That's his like, I told you, I said, let's take a trip. That's his line. I said, let's take a trip every time. So that conversation lives on.
I mean, can't take the trip now.
No, they're very different types of trips nowadays. Like really different. I need a vacation after every trip that we take. Yeah. So
what was that first year of marriage like for you? Did it change? Because you were already living together, but did anything change after the I do?
You know, I'm a big proponent of people living together. Not everybody has that opinion. Mm-hmm. I think people should live together before they get married. There's so many things to work out as you cohabitate. And what it does is it, and as is every big transition in life or everything we do in life, I view as like a mirror, right? To like, oh, here are the things that, like, this is really upsetting. Like, here are the things I'm going to need to work on. Because in the end, it's like, it's our work to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like wherever we're stuck and crunchy and not moving forward or whatever, it's like, and so really like, I don't necessarily think nothing really changed. I mean, we bought a house together, which was like a big, whoa, you know, commitment, on top of getting married. And to be honest, I feel like we really started getting to know each other even more during that first year of marriage. And I'll be totally honest, to be like totally transparent, like my whole life, I had gone through my life saying, okay, like, and I'll just say, like, I've been through some trauma in my life, like the capital T kind, you know, some big things, you know, like family, like parents, dad in jail, like some really big ones, right? Mm-hmm. Big ones. And I just thought, okay, when I find my person, like I'm here to be a wife and a mom and a family. When I find my person and complete that, that's going to be the missing piece to the puzzle. And then I'll be happy. You know, I had so many friends. I'm a really social person. I have a very strong social network. So many wonderful people in my life that honestly got me through these, some of the most dark, you know, times. But I thought, no, nothing's going to, not everything is going to get better once I find, like, I'll feel at peace. Right. I always thought, because I had a lot of anxiety. And so I found my person. And I married him and I still felt a lot of anxiety and inner turmoil. Now, it had nothing to do with him because it's mine, right? And so thus began this kind of journey, right? And it's like, I would say like a journey inward. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I have an amazing person in my life. I have someone who's committed to me and I'm committed to him. And here I am still with all my stuff. Like all my stuff is still here with me, like just like it has been all these years for decades. Yeah. And so I think that was like those were the early stages of like the realization that, finding my magical other was not the solution to how I felt and how I was going to experience life. Like it wasn't going to fix everything and make everything better. Right.
Right.
That's within me. It took me a much longer time to really get into me and start doing that. But I did eventually. And actually that was many years later. And that's when our relationship and our marriage like really blossomed, like a completely different relationship almost than the earlier years. So I'm jumping ahead, but I'll just say that first year of marriage was beautiful and fun and interesting. And also a little bit of a bit of a, also like a rude awakening, like, hey, this is great. And you now have this amazing person, but you're still with you and your stuff and the parts of you that are causing you, you know, this angst, you know, some inner turmoil. So, yeah.
So I know you said that you got pregnant or you found out that you're pregnant the day after your first year anniversary.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what was that transition like becoming parents and still trying to make time for each other because you have twins?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that there was much time for each other for a long time. I had a very crazy high risk pregnancy. So talk about testing the marriage. Okay. I was on bed rest for 20 weeks
what?
Of my pregnancy. Yeah. So I had to stay in bed. And we're talking about like the only time I got out of bed for 6 months was to go take a shower, sitting on a chair in the shower. And because I couldn't stand, they didn't want me standing up for long periods of times because mm-hmm. the twins could have gone into like early labor. And then my husband would take me every week for my checkups. And that was my big outing. Like, we're going to go to the doctor and check on the babies and make sure they're okay. And what that included was me laying in bed all day while my husband would go to work. And I worked from home at the time. I always have. So like, I would just sit, and that was great. I got to keep working, but I couldn't, my bedroom was on the third floor of our home and our kitchen was on the second floor. And I was not allowed to take stairs up and down at all. Like, that was definitely like not allowed. Mm-hmm. And so I had to sit every day. There was a cooler next to my bed that he had to like replenish with like food and ice and drinks and like what I would sustain myself on all day. And I was pregnant, growing twins. It was like, it was crazy. It was like, and he would be downstairs working and I would have to like call him, be like, can you bring me more water? Like, I had to just depend on him for everything. Can you walk the dog? And we had a dog, we got a dog. So it was like, suddenly I was incapacitated. And mm-hmm. could just had to lay there growing our babies. And it was so insane and it sucked. And, you know, eventually he was just like, oh my God, like, and I would be like, oh my God, I don't feel good. Take me to the hospital. I think something's wrong. You know, there was just constant. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh my God, she's so anxious all the time. She's going to make these babies crazy. You know, there was so much like also just like blaming. And I'm like, this guy doesn't care about our babies. He's, you know, like there was so much finger pointing back and forth. Oh yeah. It was super, super hard. And then I ended up at the end of the pregnancy in the hospital for the last 5 weeks of my pregnancy, which honestly was a godsend because
it might've been better. Yeah. I was just thinking that. It took a lot of pressure off of him and you got the care that you needed. And if you ever got super anxious, you had somebody to talk through things through and, you know, be there for it. So I guess that kind of is a godsend.
100%. It was great. Those amazing nurses at UC Irvine Medical Center took such good care of me in the antepartum department. We became best friends, of course, and I was taken care of. And then finally, when the twins came, wow, talk about every single thing that has been stored inside of you your whole life comes popping right up when you're sleep deprived and trying to keep two tiny humans alive. And you're just like, oh my God. So it was a true test. We got a night nanny. We like spent every bit of our savings to like get help basically because two babies, super, super hard. I had so much postpartum anxiety. But you know, we kind of like, I don't know, it almost felt, it's kind of a haze now. It's like a blur what we were doing. But I will tell you, I remember it was his birthday is a week after my twins are born. And so we went out to our favorite sushi place 1 week after I gave birth. And I had hormone madness, right? Like your hormones are crazy after you give birth.
Yeah.
And they were dropping and I was crying all the time. And we sit down at our favorite sushi place. I hadn't been in a restaurant in 6 months because I'd been in bed.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah. So this poor guy on his birthday, we sat down for the sushi and I'm sobbing at the sushi bar, like legit sobbing. You guys, I'm not even like, it's not just tears. It's like, and he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, they're home with the nanny, the babies. They're just there. and we're never going to have the life we had before. And this feels like an irreversible mistake. Like, this is what I'm telling him on his birthday. We can't back out of this. Like, that's it. And so the fact that he was able, and he now tells me, now that we've both like done so much work on ourselves, and like, he was like, oh my God, Sophie, I was like, what a huge mistake did I make? Like, he, in his mind, he was like, holy crap, what is happening? I have babies. This woman's losing her, you know, mind. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy. But you know what? We had these two little humans to nurture into the world. And we just did it. We just did it. And it was painful for a while. And I think our marriage, I think our relationship started to like kind of rekindle once they started to go to like preschool and we had like some space, right? Like just like a little bit of time when the two babies weren't there in the house all day.
Right.
So that's, I don't know. Did that answer the question?
It sure does. It sure does.
So how did you get into matchmaking and being a dating coach and into the relationship world?
It was my own journey that brought me to it. I broke off an engagement at 28, 27 and a half. And I started dating all the time. And then I called it the trenches of dating. It was like hard. I was like, holy crap, this sucks. Like, this is so hard. I would get on a dating app, go on a date, have an amazing time, log back in, see the guy that I went out with on the date online right now. I'm like, what is he doing online? Wait, I'm online. Wait, no, but he's online. I mean, immediately it became this like mind F, like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And I went through, like, I had all these people who mentored me and I had a therapist kind of helping me navigate. There was so much emotion. And also I was bringing to it a lot of unresolved, as we know, we bring all our stuff, right? Like all these unresolved traumas and projections and, oh my God, my partner needs to like fill all these holes and cracks. And I didn't know. I was just like, I'm just looking for a nice guy, you know, like, but I was looking for a lot more than just a nice guy. My system was seeking so much, right? And every time it didn't work, it was so painful. And so eventually I became the girl that everyone was like, oh, Sophie has the best dating stories. Sophie, she's amazing. She's a guru at online dating. And they started sending me their friends for advice. And so when I met Michael, suddenly there was just like a lot coming in. So I started a little side gig. Like I just started charging people, helping them with their online profiles, just helping them, coaching them through navigating and trying to just make it less painful, right? To like go through this process and find their person. And so I did that for years, but I had another full-time job in wholesale apparel, et cetera, sales. And then after I had the twins, I had to stop traveling for work and everything. And then a matchmaking agency, one of the largest agencies in the country, was hiring, and a friend of a friend sent me the post. And so I interviewed, I got hired. Within 3 months, I had a couple engaged, and I was like, this is awesome. Like, it just felt very much like my calling as it is. I'm like such a natural, like I just connect people all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's how it started. And then I was there for a few years and then I broke off a few years in and started Sophie Love, my agency. And so that's what brings us to today.
So you have a passion for what you do.
I do.
So how do you go about helping people make those connections?
You know, it's changed over the years. So initially it was like just making these introductions and also just guiding them the best way I knew how, using my own method, right? Like, how did I do it? How did I protect myself from getting hurt, too hurt, or how, you know? And over the years, so I would say about less than 2 years ago, I actually started a very intense transformational healing journey of my own and really dove inward. Like we're talking like in under the hood and like, oh, like all the light bulbs went off. Like, oh my gosh, this is what I was bringing all these years. And so I started immersing myself in this inner work and learning about things like, you know, internal family systems and authentic relating. And they started changing the way, and it just gave me so much insight as to, oh my gosh, bringing people into connection with other is not just about making the introductions based on this checklist or telling them what to say and what not to say on a first date, which by the way, I used to be like, keep it light. Don't talk about this, you know, be the glossy ambassador version of you at first until you hook them. And then you can bring on the real. No, like I am completely in a different place now. And really the way that I approach this is truly like matchmaking from the inside out. And to me, conscious matchmaking is bringing people into a much deeper connection and understanding with themselves so that they can more deeply connect with others and more authentically connect with others. The more and more transactional the space has gotten, the more difficult it is and the more inauthentic it has become. People are shopping for a partner, which makes sense. You're given these tools. Here's a dating app. Here, swipe here and tell us what you want. It's like ordering a Starbucks. I'd like it, you know, extra hot and dark and this kind of milk. And, you know, I like this size cup, not that size, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not how relationships and connections form. And so really my approach is that I think that the process of matching and dating is a vehicle to growth and healing that has to happen for the connections to happen and for the relationship to be sustainable and meaningful, right? Mm-hmm. And so my goal with each client is really to help them understand what are those blocks, like, because by the time they get to me, they've been doing kind of like probably the same thing for a long time and they're still single. And so what are we going to do different, right? Am I going to create some sort of different humans for them to meet? No, like I will find those people. We have recruiters. We do all of that stuff. But really how they're showing up is what's going to change the results. And so for me, it's really an integrative approach. Like we're going inside out. We're going to do this work and we know what work needs to be done just by what comes up as we go through the process. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
It definitely does. And it's one of those things where I feel like the term matchmaker, the only thing I can think of whenever I think of matchmaker is from the song, Fiddler on the Roof. So that's
my just favorite.
I always envision.
Right. Exactly. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a
match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
Oh, you got a nice voice. It's one of my favorite movies, by the way. And I love that song. And yes, there's a lot of references. Yenta the matchmaker, right?
Yes. So when it comes to matchmaking, I recently saw online that sometimes you just know, you have like some sort of like intuition that like... Sometimes you just can't put into words. You just know that these two will go well together. How often do you find that to be true in your work?
That's a good question. Gosh, I want to say every single time. I just know, right? But that's not the case. I'm going to be totally honest. You know, I couldn't tell you what percentage of the time, to be honest. I've worked with hundreds of clients and I've set up over 2000 dates in the last few years. Wow. So it's a lot, right? So,
yeah.
But I will tell you there every, first of all, whenever it does work, whenever it does, it's like the feeling of like, okay, I had this like feeling and it does happen. It does happen. Does it happen all the time? No. Does it happen half the time? Maybe. Because I have to be, I'm just being totally honest. Like, yes. Like, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. Just a week ago, I connected these two people. I had been thinking about this girl for my male client for a while. I'd actually been following her on Instagram. I'm like, this girl, like this is going to be energetically, like, this is what he's looking for. Like, I just knew he has, like, he's kind of like on the spiritual path. So she has the look, he's, you know, like, there was just many things. Right. Mm-hmm. And I set them up. I finally, like, I actually pinged her a bunch of times. She ignored me. And then finally, I think right before her birthday, she was like, hey, so I see you, you know, and she like answered me. And I'm like, yeah, let's hop on a Zoom. You have to talk to me first. You don't just like, I'm not just going to set you up. Right. Like I got to meet each person. So we got on a Zoom and I kind of was like, ooh, I've been fangirling you for a while. Like I was like, I think she's really cool. She's like this really cool therapist that I've been like really excited to meet anyway. And so, and she said, yeah, I'm like in a place where I'm like really ready to meet somebody and my life is full and amazing. But like, so anyway, set them up, got a text the other night. Sophie, it was a strong connection. And I'm just like, yes, it's like the best feeling ever. And yes. Yeah. And I do have a few handfuls of like a one and done, like their first match was the one, but I have to tell you, sometimes I put two people together and I know that there are certain things aligned and there might not be some others because you can't, there's not like, you can't check off every checkbox for every person. There's like different combos. Right. And sometimes I'm like, not totally sure. I'm like, oh, I don't know, but I'm doing this because there are enough things aligned and I met the person and they, you know, like I know both people, I know it's not going to be a disaster. It's going to still be like a good experience for them to meet. And sometimes it just surprises me. Like, they're like, oh my God, it was amazing. And I'm like, oh wow. Like I had a few little doubts because you can't be sure. These are humans. We're not products. We're not robots. And by the way, sometimes people show up on the dates and I screen them myself over Zoom or in person. And they're a certain way with me, the matchmaker. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly they're like pretty different on the date. And that's always hard because I'm like, wow, I did not experience. And then, you know, I do the feedback afterwards with the client and it's like, we debrief. And I'm like, they're like, their experience of this person was totally different than how I experienced them. Mm. And it happens. It happens because we're dealing with humans, right? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people show up on dates, like I said, with like a version of themselves, mm-hmm. or they show up and maybe they see the person across from them and immediately come to this conclusion of, well, this is not my person. You know, everyone's had that feeling, right? You go on a date, 5 minutes in, you're like, it's not happening. It's not happening. But what do you do? Right. So immediately you've assumed that this person's not for you. A shutdown process happens often, right? Okay. That's it. And so it's like, almost like it's like this wasted opportunity for connection where you could connect with another person, potentially make them feel seen and heard. You could potentially feel seen and heard in this connection. You could experience emotional like nourishment and intimacy, even if they're not your person. What if they know your person?
Right.
What if they know your person? Guess what? That's happened to me so many times. I set a couple up. They call me after. The woman says, you know what? Your guy is great. He's not my guy, but I have the girl for him. Great. They set them up. That's why I tell people, I'm like, just connect. Mm-hmm. These are each little tiny, they're like little relationships. They're really opportunities to just be seen and heard. And like, why waste them? Why throw them away? You know, you're already there. You're sitting, you're sharing this sacred little space with another human. And so, yeah, I know I totally got off on a tangent on that, but so yes, there are the moments where those special times when I had the great feeling. And by the way, sometimes I have a really great feeling and it's not a match. Like I said, like the person shows up different and I'm like, oh, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's not, you never want to hear about a bad date. But yeah, so.
Roughly how many of your clients that you've matched have gone on to get married?
Oh, I have, gosh, over the years. So I have dozens and dozens of long-term relationships, and they've lasted anywhere between like 6 months to year and a half to 5 years. Some of them don't even, like some of them live together, don't end up getting married. In terms of marriages alone, just marriages, I think I have about 15-ish, around the 15 marriages mark. Again, I think each client has a different like goal. Not everybody comes to me with the goal of marriage. Some people come to me because they're just starting to date again. And it's overwhelming and scary to like go into this crazy world with online. And it's like drinking from a fire hose after you've been married for 20 years, or maybe you're widowed, or maybe, you know, but I would say another really kind of solid statistic would be that about 85% of the people that work with me and with my team do go on to enter an exclusive relationship within 18 months and of starting to work with us. And yes, the introductions are there and sometimes they meet them like through us, but sometimes they meet them on their own while they're working with us. Sometimes they meet them after our contract is done. But in the end, I'm going to say the process and the work we do together is what brings in that connection. Mm. So, yeah.
Has being a dating coach, has that helped you in your marriage? Like working with others and then, you know, having your husband, has that helped you?
Yeah, definitely it has. You know, you have these scenarios come up, and I'll tell you, like just today, I'll just tell you right now, today I had a conversation, you know, with my husband about this idea that like we show up a certain way and portray a certain version of ourselves that we believe is going to be more, less likely to be rejected, more accepted, more appealing. Right. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, like, I was discussing it with a client and then I was sitting with my husband talking about it. And I'm like, remember when you met me and you thought I was this like badass, like independent. I was like an independent contractor. I worked from home. I didn't have to go into an office. I had this flexible schedule. I drove a Lexus, you know. I did. I was like kind of cool beans. Right. And then he got to know me and we started living together and he's like, oh shit, she's got, oh, sorry. Am I allowed to?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Are you allowed to? I'm actually a potty mouth. I've been controlling myself this whole time. And then once he got to know like really like what's actually happening in my world, it was like, oh, she has all these college student loans and credit card debt. And I was like trying to like, at the time I was trying to like settle a credit card debt with like a you know, I owed like all this money. And he was like, oh yeah, that wasn't like what I originally signed up for. And I'm like, do you remember that moment? And I remember, I think we had like a fight about it in the earlier like months. And he's like, yeah, you kind of duped me, you know? And that's why I'm always like, listen, I mean, he stuck around anyway, but
sure did.
But those things come up and we look back, and even today he said to me like, oh, I'm so glad. 'Cause he's done a lot of work on himself too, over the last couple of years, as I started to, he started to, and it's like changed our relationship. And he just said like, I'm so grateful that we are where we're at, like right now, 'cause look where we were when we first met. Like I was literally blaming you for duping me, like acting like you're this, you know, successful, badass career woman. And you actually like, in his mind, he was like, oh, she tricked me. And now I'm in and I can't get out and all these things. Right. And so, yeah, it's things pop up all the time. So.
What would you say is the best part about marriage so far?
You know, it's really this. It's really just having a person not only to like do life with, but knowing, like truly knowing within yourself that they have your back. Like if you, and if you're lucky enough to be in a relationship where you feel that, like where you really feel so connected and you've explicitly expressed that to each other. And Michael and I did express that to each other even before we ever did any work on ourselves. We were like, look, we're in this. Like, we are not ever getting divorced. Like, we're just not. Like, we have to make this work, right? Because no matter what, we think it's going to be better on the other side. And it's just not, right? I mean, barring any like major like abuse, addiction, but for us, we were like, neither of us are that, right? We're not like abusing each other or anything. And so, but, and just knowing, right? There's a safety to it that our system, all of our systems need that, right? And we can get that from our, we should be able to get that from ourselves, but our relationships and how connected we feel to those around us, to me, are like the most important thing in life, period. And so having that person being there through, like to walk in the mud with you, like it's really the most beautiful part of marriage, to be honest. I would say it's even more so than like, yes, experiencing joy together is immense. And I will tell you, it's like the more in the mud you can get with a person, the more on the flip side, the joyful moments are just so much more like almost euphoric and transcendent. So yeah, just that safety of having that person there.
With your line of work, is your work day very busy or does it depend?
So busy. Too busy. You're asking me after like such a crazy few months and this week even. It's super busy. So I have two additional matchmakers on my team, the three of us, and then we have recruiters as well. I mean, it is this combination of coaching, screening potential matches, planning the dates, doing the date feedback, all of that stuff. We never, our client roster, and then me trying to do podcasts, create content for social media, you know, do all the things, right? And I'm always... Yeah, I'm taking an authentic leadership program right now. So I run events. I run live in-person events where I curate a group and we teach them authentic relating skills so that they can change the way they experience dating. Like I'm not just trying to match people. I'm literally trying to like reframe and change the way people experience human connection. And so because I'm so dedicated to that, it's extremely time consuming to do all these new things. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I am nonstop. Like I have to, my days start really early. I take my kids to school, or Michael does. I'm on Zoom all day. I have to like carve out breaks. Like I had a smoothie for lunch. Michael actually made it for me because I was going from call to call to call. It's really, really busy. And it's really, really fulfilling too. Like it is. Yeah.
Is there like a season? Does it go in waves of like, oh, this is our busy season, or is it pretty consistent throughout the year? And when is the busy season, if there is one?
I would say January is definitely a big like whoosh. Everybody's excited. It's like joining the gym. You know, you're like,
yeah,
new year, new me. That's it. I'm going to meet someone, matchmaker, find me a match, you know, all the things, right? So January and February are big. Valentine's Day. Don't get me started. I'm not a fan at all, to be honest. I do not like Valentine's Day. I think it just like so fabricated, right? But I don't know. I feel like you should just express your love to people all the time. I had a discussion about this with, you know, my matchmaker. She's like, I love Valentine's Day. And I'm like, I'm the matchmaker that doesn't like Valentine's Day. It's fine. But yeah, so I would say January, February, March, spring, summer. I won't say it slows down, but during the summer, everybody's traveling, right? Mm-hmm. And so people are kind of like in their worlds, you know, so it's, I would say it's harder. Like it's harder for me to put on events during the summer because I just, everybody's scattered, right? And especially, right, by the way, after the pandemic, people went nuts. It was like revenge travel, right? It was like, oh my God, I haven't traveled in so long. Everyone was in Europe, everyone, you know, so, and then when we enter into, the fall, that's another like really busy time. I love mm-hmm. the fall. They call it cuffing season.
Sure do.
So everybody wants to kind of hunker down with someone, and it is, it makes sense. And I have to tell you, this time of year right now is, I would say, again, it's consistently, we are always bringing on new clients, matching. I send out multiple dates every week, all year long. Right. Mm-hmm. But this time of year is hard. So I have a lot of coaching sessions with my clients because mm-hmm. they're going into the holidays. And if they still haven't met a person, it's hard. Like it's lonely. It yeah. hurts. It brings up all the stuff. Right. And mm-hmm. so we're here for that too. I mean, it's a journey. It's a path. We're here to walk this path with our clients through the ups, through the downs, all of it. So my job kind of, and what I do more and less of sort of changes throughout the seasons in that mm-hmm. way. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Sophie, first of all, we want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your super busy schedule to come and just talk with us, share with us about your life and about what you do. But before we let you go, we do have one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
I think marriage is totally worth it. I think it's totally worth it. And to be honest, it doesn't have to be marriage. I'm going to reframe it. What's worth it is putting yourself out there to form intimate, deep connections with other humans. We are not meant, we are social animals. We are not meant to go through life solitary on our own. And so it is worth it. And it's worth it to go through the ups and the downs and the pains and the heartbreaks to get to having that partner, that person. It is worth it 100%. And I went through so much of it myself, and I walk the path with my clients over and over, and all of them will tell you that it's worth it. They will. So,
and there you have it. It is a yes from Sophie. You can go ahead and tell our listeners where they could find you if they are interested in are you only available in California, or do you work with people from all over?
I work with people nationwide, all ages, all races, ethnicities, religions, shape, size, everything, everyone. My website is www.sophy.love. My Instagram is Matchmaker Sophie, also Sophy. It is 100% free, no charge to be in our dating directory. It's private and internal, and you could get matched with a client or with another matchmaker's client because we collaborate with hundreds of other matchmakers. So it's absolutely free just to be in our database. You might get, I mean, we make most of our matches are with paying clients and free members, just so you know. So there is that opportunity. We also offer community calls that are coaching calls with us for our members in our community. We have courses that we run on authentic dating. And obviously there are the matchmaking services, our online dating concierge services and other things like that. But it costs nothing to be a part of our community. And we try to offer as much value as possible to every member, not just people who are paying us.
Righty. Thank you so much, Sophie.
Thank you so much, ladies. It was such a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for letting me share my stories.
You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Marriage Worth It. You can also email us at marriageworthit@gmail.com.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?